Here we go. If you have your Bibles, open them to John chapter 4 is where I'm going to be speaking from today. John chapter 4. I'm glad that you're here today. I believe that you are in God's presence, and I believe that God has something special for you today if he hasn't spoken to your heart already. John chapter 4, the title of the message is The Harvest. Now, I'm picking up in a story that is shared about Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Several of you were here last week because you mentioned that you missed me, and I was not here last week. Several of you did not mention that, which means that I know you weren't. No, well, I don't know. You might have been here, you might not, and maybe you didn't miss me. And, well, that's another topic of another day. But Josh Kendrick shared about the divine appointment. And I was able to listen to his message online, and several of you have told me that he did a wonderful job, and he did, and it was a challenge. And if you haven't been a part of that, you need to go listen to that on our website, rcfirst.org, and that's where we have our messages. But it's neat when we have a divine appointment set up, and we need to be looking for that. When there might be something that we think we're going to do, and then all of a sudden God sets up something for us, and we're like, oh, hey, I should be paying attention. Have you ever had one of those times where you think on that afterwards and you think, ah, I missed it? God sets those divine appointments up for us. Josh talked last week of a youth convention that he was at, that he attended, that was a divine appointment, and how that impacted his life, and it's still impacting his life. I don't know what Josh said exactly, but Josh and his wife Marley and their two children are going to Montana to plant a church, and they're still on his call of what God has been calling him to from that youth convention many, many years ago. And he said this also. He said, to reach the inaccessible people, we have to associate with them. Sometimes we want to be disassociated from some. And some of us like to be associated with all kinds of interesting individuals. But I encourage you to reach out beyond yourself with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We see in John chapter 4, we see Jesus talking to a Samaritan woman. This is the woman at the well. But because he reached out, this lady was putting her trust in him. How do we do this? Well, when we pick up the reading today, there's this lady that's here. And we're going to start in verse 27 as we're going to be in just a couple of moments. And then she goes back into town, and here comes the disciples. Verse 8 tells us that the disciples had gone in the city to buy some food. And so Jesus had this exchange with the Samaritan woman. We know the lady is coming back. Do you know how we know the lady's coming back? A very important thing here. Let me find it here in verse 28. Haven't read it yet, but here's what it says. So the woman left her water jar. So there was no, I'm going to flee from this guy. There's, I'm coming back because I left my water jar. That's an important part of where I'm at. One would say this. She never dreamed of doing anything else but come back. Let me just say this. Sometimes we do lip service to Jesus. You ever done that? God, I will, and then we don't. Some of us have done that. Sometimes it's when you're hanging on the end of a rope from something, and you're like, God, if you get me out of here, man, I will, and then we don't. Don't do that. When the disciples came back, it says they marveled, or another version says they were surprised that Jesus was engaging in this discussion. If you were here last week, you heard Josh talk a little bit about this. Why? Why were they surprised? Three reasons. One, she was a Samaritan. Two, she was a she. And three, she was an adulteress. And so it was like, what are you doing talking to this lady? Here's what one rabbinic prophecy said. Let no one talk with a woman in the street, no, not with his own wife. And so that was the culture. You can't even talk to your wife in the street. You're not even supposed to do that. And so here's Jesus breaking down these barriers. So as I share from God's word today, I wonder if you're involved not sinfully or illegally. Don't go down that path. But I wonder if you're involved like Jesus was in a little different ministry, in a little different place, and God has you there on purpose with someone maybe who may not be, you may not see them going to some banquet. They may be a little bit different. Or sometimes it's those individuals in our lives that are going to the banquet that look all spiffy on the outside, but inside, there's not much going on. And so as you think on that today, I want you to think about who might be in your path. If you'd join me in John chapter 4, I'm going to start at verse 27, and then I'm going to go through verse 38. It's on the Bible in front of you in the chair rack on page 889, and I encourage you to keep your Bibles open today because we're going to actually, a little bit later in the message, I'm going to rifle through some of the passages of something that's being said here. Here's what it says in John chapter 4. Just then, his disciples came back. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking with her?" But they thought it. So the woman left her water jar and went away into town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him something to eat? Somebody go down to McDonald's and pick him something up? What's he eating here?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are 4 months, then comes the harvest? Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see that the fields are white for harvest. Already the one who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." We're going to stop there for today. The first thing I want you to see is the nourishment of daily bread. I would ask for a show of hands, but I know everybody's hand would go up. How many of us like daily bread? That's good stuff, isn't it? We love daily bread. By the way, if you're a guest of ours or if you're a regular attender, we have food that people have set up, and right after the service, you get to go out to this table and pile your little plate high of all kinds of food. Isn't that great? Some of you are just ready for that. Now, I was told that sometimes those little donut holes that come from Jerry's Cakes and Donuts are actually even kind of warm when they come. And so I was told that if I wanted to snitch one before service that I could, you know, have a hot one. Just letting you know, I did not take one this morning, nor do I take one most anymore. The nourishment of daily bread. This shows the humanity of Jesus. Some would say, well, Jesus was not really fully man. He was fully man. Each of you in this room need food. I need food. We need the nourishment of that food daily. Now, he's not eating here, of course, and he's not eating, so obviously he didn't need food. No, he was hungry, but he responds in a different way. Verse 8 tells us the disciples had gone into the city to buy food. And so here they come. They come back with their cooler of food. I don't think Coleman was around at that point in time, but they come back with their cooler of food, and they're like, "Hey, we have food for you." And Jesus says, "I don't want to eat at this point in time. We'll just put it down." Now, I want you to know, as a dad with some children in my home, if I came to them and I said I have food for them, most of the time, it wouldn't take very long for this to be eaten, all right? We would eat this up, whatever was in here, really, really quickly, because my kids aren't like the nourishment. You as well. I bet you if I found the right food or the right flavor of drink that I could probably get each one of you to eat if I happen to have something in here for you to eat. You'd be like, "Oh, yeah. Jesus is not fasting, though there is a biblical command and encouragement for us to do this. He was simply not interested in eating because something else was going on and the disciples couldn't see it. Notice in my point, I said this, the nourishment of daily bread. Every day, jump into God's word. That's the bread for us. Some of us go out to eat on Sunday. That's fine. Some of us go home. Imagine your only meal being on Sunday after church. Now, your meal will be good. Maybe you have plans for that. You know exactly what you have planned. Maybe you don't yet. That meal will be good, but it's not enough for the whole week. In the same way, your spiritual nourishment just can't come on a Sunday. I think there's something good about being together and hearing from God's word, but it has to happen throughout the week. Imagine you just saying, all right, I'm good the rest of the week. I'm not going to eat anymore. I'm just going to have Sunday brunch. I'm going to fill myself up full, and some of us can do that really good. No, we need some on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. So do we need God's word. Number two, I want you to see this. Are we nourished enough to do the will of the Lord? Are we nourished enough to do the will of the Lord? Jesus responds in this way. After disciples came back and they're like, hey, you need to eat. He says, nah, I have food to eat that you don't even know about. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. I merely look at the word at this point in time. I'm like, what? I mean, seriously? After a good day's work, after not having much to eat, I'm hungry. But there was something deeper that was going on. Maybe you've actually been in a place like Jesus was. Maybe you've been in a place where your work actually energizes you and you forget to eat. Some of you have never had that struggle whatsoever. Some of you have that struggle all the time. You're like so involved in your work, and then somebody says, oh man, you probably should eat. Oh yeah, I should. Yeah, it's like 2 o'clock. I haven't eaten yet. But you were just like so involved. It was energizing you. You're so excited. Now some of you are like 10 o'clock. I need my break. I need my food, and your work doesn't energize you. But think of a time possibly where you're just energized by that work. Here's Jesus. He's saying, man, I can't even think about eating because this is energizing me. I am so excited to do this. I'm so excited talking to this lady. I'm so excited about what is taking place. It's strange how a task can lift a man above and beyond bodily needs. Let me give you a couple of for instances. Some of you know the name, I'm assuming all of you know the name of William Wilberforce. He was a great man and he worked hard to free the slaves. What a powerful man. But he was a little insignificant ailing man. He was not very big at all, and he was sick a lot. But it is said when he rose to address the House of Commons, the members would first smile at him, but then there was fire, and there was power that would came from him, that they would crowd the benches when he would speak. There's another one, John Knox. Maybe you've heard of that name if you haven't. You should look him up. John Knox. He was an old man, and he was so weak that he had to be lifted up to the pulpit steps, and he had to support himself with help. But as he began to speak, his voice was like a trumpet call, and the message that filled Knox was a kind of supernatural strength. Maybe you've been like that. Maybe you've been in a place where it's just like, wow, I don't even want to eat. Want to eat. His disciples, they couldn't understand. They wanted him to eat. No, you need to eat something. Here, it's time to eat. Ding, 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 ding. Come on, we got to eat. And Jesus says, no, there's something more. Some of us live to eat. Here is Jesus telling us it is more than just living and eating. It is doing what? Here's what it says. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. This begs the question for each of us. This begs the question for each of us. Go ahead and eat. You can have Sunday brunch today. You can eat all this week. But here's the question. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. Are you doing the will of the Father? It's a good question for us each to ask one. Are we doing the will of the Father? Do you know what God's will is for you? I think of some of the kids that are in this room or young people in the room that haven't had a calling or haven't had this is the job you're supposed to do in life. ask the Lord, say, God, what do you want me to do? What is your will for me? Some of us, sometimes we spin our wheels trying to find the will when we just need to walk step in step with God and he will show us the will. Some of us maybe aren't even thinking about what God's will is. Ultimately, God's will is this, that you enjoy him and worship him forever. And we will see to serve him. We pursue many things. Are those things God honoring? Now, hear me in this. I'm not asking anybody in this room to go out and quit your job tomorrow. If you have a job, you're like, oh, I'm done. This isn't the will of the Father. I mean, if he's asking you to quit, then quit. But God's will is probably working within where you're at right now. What is he doing within you? Are you working within the will of the Father with what he's given you right now? Let me give you some examples. On Thursday, I'm sitting in my office. And just so you know, where my office is positioned, I can see most everyone that comes in through the church doors. I can also see a lot of trucks pulling in and out of our parking lot that are really heavy, and they just like to have this as a turnaround. I don't understand that exactly. I'm not sure where they turned around before this church was here, but I'm able to see all that happens, or people that put stuff in our dumpster. I saw that happen one day. I'm not sure why they wanted to do that, but they said, oh, let's put stuff in their dumpster. So, by the way, we have a lock on our dumpster. So don't you try to do that, okay? Because unless you want a key, and I can get you a key. But I was sitting in my office, and here was Warren Chemical. Many of you know Warren Chemical. They go around, and they spray. And there's a guy out, and he's spraying our grass. I'm very thankful that he's spraying our grass so we don't have to have weeds. It's nice to have a green lawn, is it not? And then as I'm sitting there, here comes Kiefer Sanitation with a big dump truck. And they were messing with the dumpster, and Charlene was a little concerned, actually, and she's like, well, I wonder if my Jeep's in the way. And I said, oh, if it backs up into it, don't worry about it. So I actually went over and talked to him because we had our dumpster moved, and she said, well, have him back into it really, really good then. Well, probably not that. I was wondering, are these two men doing the will of the Father? Now, I didn't stop and ask them what their names were. I didn't say, are you a Christian? Are you following after the Lord? If they're a Christian, then they're probably doing the will of the Father. Sometimes we think maybe the will of the Father, my food is to do the will of him, is to be called into full-time ministry. And I think there's a point for that. I think there's men and women who need to be called into ministry. It's valuable. But there's also something about doing whatever you're doing that becomes an extension of you, that you are doing the will of the Father. So the question is, whatever you're doing, are you doing the will of him who sent you? Anything short of that will not be satisfactory, and it will not be fulfilling in your life. There should be a great peace that comes about you that says, yes, I am doing the will of the Father. And that great peace can come even if you don't feel great peace in what you're doing for a job. I hope that makes sense. Some of us in this room are doing things that, well, that's not the best and the greatest that we would want to do possibly. But we have peace about it because it's the will of the Father coming up through us. My food is to do the will of him. And so I just asked several of you today, and I don't know really who I'm asking, but I'm asking you all. But some of you are just, it's going to be a little deeper for you. Are you doing the will of the Father? Are you doing the will of the Father? The third thing I want you to see is this. The fields are white for harvest. The fields are white for harvest. Soon, in this area of the country, we're going to be harvesting. Yesterday, I was on Elkvale Road, and as I was going down Elkvale Road, there were several combines on the back of trailers, and it must have been a custom cutting crew. That would be a fun job, wouldn't it? How many of you would love to be on a custom cutting crew? Any of you? Ah, that would be great. Going from place to place, putting your combine in a field, living in a trailer, that would just be a lot of fun. I don't think you guys are agreeing with me, much of you, but that's okay. You do the will of the Father, how he directs you, and then if God ever calls me to that, I'll do that. Here in this part of the country, we harvest beans and corn and sunflowers and maybe some wheat. I don't know if you've looked upon the fields recently. I grew up in Kansas, and there's something about a wheat field, and there's something about being out with combines in the field, and it's very dusty, but there's just something about seeing that field that happens. The fields are beautiful. There's majesty and wonders in the mountains as well and the ocean. I get that, but there's something about harvest and what happens. I was out in farm country out by Woolsey, South Dakota, and the corn is not quite ready yet, but it's working that way. And there's been several things, rain and hail and sun and chemicals and all that stuff. And my sister-in-law was telling my son about how the corn needs to look, how it needs to look. She was telling how it needs to look in order for it to be ready. And my sister-in-law's dad, he's kind of over the whole farm, and I'm sure he's looking at it every day, if not a couple times a day, to make sure it's ready for the time to be harvested. And when it's time to be harvested, look out, because here comes the combines. Grab the grain cart, ready the semis, because it's harvest time. I wonder if sometimes we miss it. You are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and sometimes we miss the harvest. We miss that somebody's ready to accept Jesus, and we shy away from it. Well, I might mess it up. You know, I may not do it right. And Jesus is telling his disciples, here, it's ready for the harvest. The fields are white. This lady was coming back to Jesus. And as she was coming back, she was bringing others that needed the gospel. Now, what does this mean here exactly? There are 4 months, then comes the harvest. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes and see the fields are white for harvest. If you've been, again, I was in farm country, the fields aren't white. They're yellow. And the beans are green. And the sunflowers, and they weren't sunflowers, but the sunflowers are yellow. So what does this mean? There was a guy by the name of H.V. Morton that he was at Jacob's Well, who very well could have been at the same place here where this was. And as he sat, he saw people coming out of the village, and they were starting to climb the hill. And they came out in little batches, and they were all wearing white robes, and those white robes stood out against the ground in the sky. And so he says this. Maybe this is what was happening as Jesus spoke. Here comes the people. They had white robes on. They were getting ready to go up the harvest, and so they were going up on the hillside, and he said, look, the fields are white with harvest. The harvesters are going out, and they're ready to glean what they need to get. The white-robed crowd was the harvest, which was eager to reap for God. Do you and I see the harvest? Do we see those that are around us as we do the will of the Father, and are we engaging them in the harvest? In Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38, and also in Luke chapter 10, verse 2, it says this. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers to his harvest. Are you ready for the harvest? Are you ready for the harvest? I'm going to pray for us, not now, but I'm going to pray for us at the end of the service that we're ready for the harvest. You are the laborers. I am the laborers. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Here's what he says in verse 35, and I give it to you today. Look, I tell you, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. Look and see the harvest. The disciples are saying, Jesus, you've got to eat. You need a peanut butter and jelly. I mean, you got to have this. I mean, we got strawberry for you. We know you love strawberry. We know you don't like grape or apricot. But you like strawberry. You got to eat. And he's like, you're missing it, guys. Look. Lift up your eyes and see the harvest is full. Here's what he says also. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. The fourth thing is I want you to see is this. You are sent. There's a repeating comment in John that we should know and be ready to see as we're going through John here. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Who sent me is a very familiar phrase within John. If you have your Bibles and you want to go with me, here we go. John chapter 5, verse 37. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. John chapter 6, verse 38. Verse 35 says, I am the bread of life. Verse 38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. John chapter 8, verse 18. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. John chapter 12, verse 44. And Jesus cried out and said, whoever believes in me, believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And then a couple of verses later, in verse 49 of the same chapter, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment what to say and what to speak. Chapter 13, verse 16. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And then in verse 20. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Chapter 17, verse 18. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. We're going to come back to those in weeks to come. John is trying to tell us that Jesus was sent from the Father. There's no fewer than 44 times that this gospel or Jesus speaks about him being sent by God. And being sent, he tells time and time again what he's supposed to say. Two things we need to know: that Jesus was sent from heaven by the Father for a reason. Why? To talk about the kingdom of heaven. To talk on heavenly things. We talked about that several weeks ago. To bear witness to what he has seen as heard. And number two, so you are sent as well. Many months ago, if you were at First Wesleyan, I gave you one of these. Some of you can't see this because your eyes can't catch this small thing in my hand. But it's a penny. If you remember, I gave this to you, and I said, what does it tell you on it? And it says on it, 1 cent. Now, this is C-E-N-T. But I also encourage you knowing that you are sent. You are not here just to abide. You are sent like the disciples to see the harvest that is there. Matthew chapter 28. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospels and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. No one's excluded from this. If we are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, go is all of us. I tend to think that church is kind of a place of comfort, kind of a refuge, kind of a place of instruction. I think church is a place of love. If you don't feel loved here this morning, then come see me and I'll give you a hug. This is a place where you should feel loved, and I think you do. But here's what happens. We leave. Some of you will leave in just a couple of minutes. Some of you will stay for Sunday school. And you go into a world that's not a lovely world. One that wrestles and struggles. And I may say this, one that's satanic and evil. And the fields are ripe for harvest. Some of us leave from this place and go to some pretty crummy places. Some of us leave this place and go to some pretty flashy places. But whether they be crummy or flashy, we're going as disciples of Christ. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. You are one of those laborers. I want you to catch something else from this passage, though, because some of you, maybe you missed this. Here's what it says. Verse 37. For here the saying holds true. One sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor. Know this. Whether you see a great harvest this week of 5 or 10 people come to know the Lord, you are sowing something in somebody's life who they may reap later. Sometimes we say, well, I'm just sowing. But it may be the reaping time that happens this week. Don't miss that. But if that doesn't happen, you continue to sow for somebody else to reap. I think of a tree in your yard. You are enjoying the nice shade of the tree. You are enjoying maybe the fruit off of the tree. You may have planted that tree, or it may have been planted before you came along, but you're enjoying the benefits of that tree. In the same way, you may be helping someone come to know the Lord, and other people before you have labored as well. Don't be discouraged. Keep sowing. There might be somebody in your life this week that needs Christ. Jesus is saying this. Here they come. Here they come to you. Why not say, hey, do you know Jesus? Do you know God? Would you like a relationship with him? If they turn you down, don't worry about that. But why not ask the question? Look, the fields are ripe with harvest. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. Be consumed with Jesus so much that though you eat, it does not consume you. Do the will of the Father. You are being sent. And may God bring a huge harvest this week. Would you stand with me as we pray? Bow your heads and close your eyes. Lord Jesus, before I leave from this message, I just pray for somebody here this morning who may need a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's you. I pray that they would say yes to you and they would confess of their sins, because your steadfast love reaches to the heavens. And may they catch that. May they be ones that say, yes, I need to do the will of the Father, and I have not been, and I want to surrender my life to him. Lord, there are many in this room that are aiming to follow after you. I ask that you would help our eyes be lifted up to you and to the harvest that is around us. Some of us have some coworkers that are almost there. May we walk through that door this week, and may you just set that up for us. Some of us have some family members that are right there. Help us to lift up our eyes. Some of us have some students or some friends or some neighbors that are right there. Help us to lift our eyes and see the harvest. Lord, I pray that you would send these workers into the harvest week, harvest area this week, and there'd be a great harvest that would take place. So, Lord, I pray that you would go before each one of us, help us our eyes to be open, and may the harvest be great this week, and may it make an impact for all of eternity. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for each person that's here today. May you be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path and guide each step this week as we go. We pray this in the mighty and the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.